1 Corinthians. And again, I will ask you to forbear with me. I'm fighting off a little something, or I don't know how successfully I'm fighting it off, but 1 Corinthians chapter 11. First Corinthians in chapter 11, read with me one verse, the first verse, where Paul writes, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." All right. Now that is a verse that you and I are familiar with. We know it. Hopefully you know where it is. If you didn't before, you do now. Keep it in your mind. Keep it in your memory. Paul says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." You and I, we understand that in this age, in this dispensation, in this time that we live, we are not walking according to Moses. We are not following Moses. We're not living under the doctrines of Moses. We are not following the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, from his earthly ministry, from Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. People, you hear so many Christians say, you know, you tell them, you know, have you read Paul? No, I stay in the Gospels. That's plenty for me. Look, it's not only is it not plenty for you, it's not for you at all. Those things that are written there are written there words of truth, but they're not spoken to you. Paul says, "Be followers of me." So the question, it's not WWJD, it's WWPD. It's not "what would Jesus do?" Now it is, but the only way that you know what would Jesus do, apart from what would Paul do, you're going to get wrong. Because Matthew and Mark and Luke and John is not what Jesus would do today. If you want to find out what Jesus would do today, be followers of Paul. Now, in this verse, Paul, he doesn't just say, "Follow me." He says, "Be ye followers of me." You know, Paul is asking you for something more than just "do as I do, do as I say." He's asking you to identify. He's talking about who you should be. You know who we identify as? Followers of Paul. And there is no need for you to apologize for that. There is no need for you to have to qualify that. You know what? You know what the faithful, God-fearing Jews called themselves in time past? Followers of Moses. They followed Moses. Did they worship Moses? No. They followed Moses because Moses is the man that God ordained for them to follow. Well, for you and me, we follow Paul. And we do more than follow Paul. We are followers of Paul. Do you identify yourself that way? We talk about our identification, and that's as Christians. We identify as being alive in Christ Jesus. But you know how you know that? Through Paul. We are Christians, and as Christians today, we are followers of Paul. Paul says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." So Paul, he doesn't just say, be my followers. He says, I'm following something here. And the something I'm following is the Lord himself, Jesus Christ. Now look, at this time, the Lord Jesus Christ is doing something that one man on earth knows about. And if anybody on earth was going to know what Jesus Christ was doing, what he wanted from them, they had to go to Paul. He was the only one who knew. The Lord Jesus Christ gave it directly by revelation to him to give to you and me. So you can't be a follower of God, except you're a follower of Paul. That's something that we can identify as. That's something that we can tell people about. That's something that there is no reason on God's earth to have to hide or be ashamed of. Now look, are you going to suffer some things for that? Listen, follow Paul. Did Paul suffer for that? Yeah, he sure did. What does it mean to be a follower of Paul? If not, to be willing to suffer for the truth of God. And to be bold. To be bold with it. Come with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. People don't understand these things. And when you talk to people out there, you know, I'm talking to you. Who already know these things, and I understand that. But there's an awful lot of, look, like Paul was the only one who knew what Jesus Christ was doing. There's not many today who know what Jesus Christ is doing, because they're not followers of Paul. So Paul suffered in order to get that message out. Not just the gospel of Jesus Christ, but what Paul called my gospel. Paul's gospel. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14. Paul says, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So you and I, we're following the chief of sinners. That's a good guy to follow, isn't it? Listen, Paul, why is he the chief of sinners? Why did God pick the chief of sinners to reveal all this unto and then tell his people for the next 2,000 years, follow him? Why? Howbeit, verse 16, for this cause, here's why, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. The Apostle Paul is a pattern. He is God's pattern. When God was building his nation in the wilderness, and they just were just newborn out of Egypt, born of water across that Red Sea, came into that wilderness, God gave Moses a pattern. And he said, I want you to make this tabernacle. And that tabernacle is going to be my house. I'm going to live there. And my glory is going to be manifest there. So Moses, I want you to make that tabernacle according to this pattern. Do not deviate. Don't improvise. You do it exactly the way I'm telling you to do it. And God gave him a blueprint. And Moses built that tabernacle according to that blueprint. Well, God has given you and me a blueprint today. And for the same reason. Because God's building a house today. He's building a place for himself to dwell on this earth and to manifest his glory before all men. That's you. You and me, the church, the body of Christ. And God told Paul, he said, here's how you're going to do it. And then he tells you and me, look to Paul. He's your pattern. How do we live? How do we function? How do we operate as the house of God, as the temple of God? How can God's glory be manifest in us as a church, as individual Christian people? There's only one way. You got to walk according to the pattern. Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ is doing something today that's very different from what he was doing when he was here on earth. And people, this is hard. It's a hard thing for people to take. Peter said, you know, Paul's got some stuff in his epistles that are hard to be understood. And sometimes they're not hard to be understood, they're just hard to accept. You're telling me not to follow Jesus, but to follow Paul instead. I'm telling you to follow Paul as he followed Christ. And not just to follow Paul, but be ye a follower of Paul. That's who you are. You say, you know, we're talking about doing what God's doing. And we're talking about being in line with the will of God. And we're talking about how having God work in us. We're talking about having God with us. Say, God's always with us. He'll never leave us. Yeah, that's not what I'm talking about. Paul says, look at Philippians chapter 3. Get chapter 4 first. Philippians 4, we'll back up and get chapter 3 as well. You want God to be with you? You know, Moses, when they were supposed to cross over early on, long before the 40-year thing, right off the bat, they were never meant to be out in that wilderness for 40 years. They were out there for a little while. They came up to the Jordan, and they were supposed to go over. And Moses got 12 spies, and he sent them into that land. And they came back saying, these people are enormous. We can't beat them. All of them but two, Joshua and Caleb. And the 10 who came back with the evil report, the unbelieving report, persuaded the rest. And as a result of that, God told them, because you didn't believe me, now you're going to wander around here for 40 years and every one of you is going to die and your kids will get the promised land. But you know what they did then after that? The next day, they went up to take the land. And Moses says, wait, what are you doing? Don't go up. God has already told you, you're going to be walking around here for 40 years. And they didn't like that plan, and I don't blame them. So they went to take the land. They said, the land that God hath promised. So they're going to obey God's word now. The problem is, that was God's word for yesterday. God's word for today is don't pass over. You're going to wander now for 40 years. And they, instead of listening to God and doing what God told them to do, they went up to take the land because they took the word of God from yesterday and they tried to apply it today. And they got slaughtered. And Moses told them, he said, go not up, for the Lord is not among you. They went up to that battle without God and paid dearly. Why? For their failure to rightly divide the word of truth. They were obeying God from yesterday, from time past. And they were in absolute and utter disobedience. And Moses says, God is not with you. You want God to be with you? You want God to be behind what you're doing? You want to walk with God? Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, where Paul writes, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You want God to be with you? Follow Paul. Be ye a follower of Paul, and the God of peace will be with you. You'll be doing what God's doing. God will go where you go. You know, it's generally a good piece of advice to think to yourself or to tell people, don't go anywhere where you wouldn't take Jesus. And that's true enough because you got the Lord living in you and you're in Him. But you know what? When you start thinking about where could I go that Jesus would go, listen, you know, Jesus isn't going to go with you into a bar or into some brothel. But He wouldn't go with you to work either. And He wouldn't go with you out to the park that you go to. He wouldn't go with you to the grocery store. He wouldn't come into your home. Say, how dare you? Well, how dare me? Ask Him. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We read in the scripture reading this morning in Luke 19 about Zacchaeus. There's a guy, publican, sinner. The Lord's walking by, the Lord looks up, sees the little guy in the tree. He's a short guy, he couldn't see. So he climbs up in the tree and the Lord says, come on down here. I'm going to come and stay at your house today. So you say, well, see, Jesus will go to a sinner's house. He'll come to mine. No, what did He say? He said, this day is salvation come to this house, For this man also is a son of Abraham. You a son of Abraham? You think Jesus would go somewhere with you? You think he would go to the places you go? Not unless you're following Paul. Then you take Jesus everywhere that you go. Doesn't mean the Lord's going to stay home if you're not a follower of Paul. It means if you're following the Lord Jesus Christ out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're excluding yourself from the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not only trying to obey the Word of God from time past, you're trying to obey the Word of God that was never spoken to you, was never given to you for your obedience. The Lord told His apostles, go not into the way of the Gentiles. Give not that which is holy to the dogs. And don't cast your pearls before swine. You want to follow Jesus? In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, you better follow from way back. The Lord's got no time for you there. And He shouldn't. You got no business expecting to walk with the Lord in His earthly ministry. Paul says, we don't know Him. We used to know Christ after the flesh. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but henceforth know we Him no more. You don't know Him that way. You want to know Jesus? Be a follower of Paul. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. Paul says, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an ensample. So Paul, again there, he says, be followers. Be followers together. So we follow Paul together. And that helps when you can follow Paul together with someone else, because that's a pretty lonely walk. There's all kind of people you can follow Jesus during His earthly ministry, all kind of people just trying to do that. Not a whole lot of people following Paul. So he says, be followers together of me, mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an ensample. So now Paul says that Jesus Christ took me, the chief of sinners, justified me by His grace to make me a pattern. That's an example to everyone that would believe hereafter. So Paul's an example. And here he says, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. So not only is Paul your pattern and your example, but you want to be the example for others. The example of what? The example of following Paul. Follow me, be followers together of me, find a group of folks that's following me, and get with them. Don't go off joining some other group. Groups of saints that follow Paul are rare and precious few. You find one. Now, all of you have, praise God. Praise God, I did. But I'm talking to everybody out there, the people that you talk to, too. You tell them to find yourself a church, and you know what? While you're at it, brag on this one. Tell them how great we are. This is an assembly like none other I've ever belonged to. Get them to follow Paul right into these doors. Be followers together of me. Mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. They're the enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. You know, it's not time. You know when it was time to be the enemy of the cross of Christ? When they were marching him down there. When they were whipping him and beating him. When they took him up and they nailed him there. That was the time to be the enemy of the cross. No, they were friends of the cross then. Why? Because they got to do what God's not doing. What's God doing today? God's a friend of the cross today. So what are these guys? They're enemies of the cross. Everything comes back to a failure to rightly divide the word of truth. Or to do it, to study, to show yourself approved. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And when you do that, you'll be a follower of Paul. Say it loud. Say it humble. But say it. Be it. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. You know, Paul tells Timothy, we're in 1 Corinthians 14, he says, Timothy, I want you to see the two things. Number one, be not ashamed of our Lord. Number two, don't be ashamed of me, his prisoner. Don't be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ as we know him today. And don't be ashamed of Paul. And everything that you know, Paul tells Timothy again, remember of whom thou hast learned them. Everything that you heard and seen and received and learned from me, Paul says, do that. That's what you do. And the God of peace will be with you. Why? 1 Corinthians 14, verse 37. Because if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, you want to be spiritual? Say, I don't want to be a prophet. That's okay. Do you want to be spiritual? Let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you, are the commandments of the Lord. So where do you go for the commandments today? You going to Moses? A lot of commandments back there. You going to Jesus? He had his share too. Paul says, You know, I just said you might not want to be a prophet. You know why you might not want to be a prophet? Because you're a follower of Paul. A lot of people out there that do want to be prophets. Why? Because they're not followers of Paul. But if you want to be spiritual, don't go around pretending you're spiritual if you're not a follower of Paul. You got no right, you got no more right than you did to walk next to the Lord Jesus Christ while he was here. You have no right to that claim, except you're a follower of Paul. That's how you be spiritual. That's how you walk with God, and he walks with you. If you think you're spiritual, acknowledge this, that the things that Paul writes are the commandments of the Lord. The Pauline epistles. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. It So where do you go in your Bible? You know, we're going to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul says, he tells the Ephesians, he says, you guys remember. Remember what? Remember that you in time past were Gentiles in the flesh, called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. The Jews had a word for us, uncircumcision. It was a bad word. It was true. Paul says, remember that at that time you were without Christ. Why? Because you were a sinner, you weren't saved yet? No, because you were a Gentile. You couldn't get it if you wanted to without becoming a Jew. You were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. You know, we're so used to, you and I, we have the benefit of being born into a 2,000 year history of Pauline Christendom. Now, whether they knew they were following Paul or not, we've talked about that before. Why do you think this nation was built, conceived in liberty, dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal? Where did they get that from? They didn't get it from Jesus, who told his people not to cast your pearls before swine. And when one of those swine came to him saying, Lord, Lord, help me, he says, I'm not going to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Where did they get that idea that all men are created equal? They got it from Paul. Now, they didn't know that that's where they were getting it from. But this is a Pauline nation, and all of Christendom is Pauline Christendom in its culture and in its essence. Why do you think it's all about liberty? That's Paul. We have that benefit of that history, and sometimes, all the time, it's easy to forget how it used to be. Now, you and I, we weren't alive when it was the way it used to be, but we know about it. So Paul says, remember. Remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision, they had a special privileged place before God that you did not have and could not have, and even if you joined with them, you'd be nothing but a proselyte, and you'd get some of the blessings, maybe. If you weren't born, Paul says, if any other man think he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and a Hebrew of the Hebrews, thoroughbred. I ain't no proselyte. I was born a Jew. See, you and me, he says, remember, you are Gentiles. You were without Christ, having no hope, and without God in the world. You know, this day and age that you and I live, we look around at the things that go on around us, and we go, boy, it would have been nice to live in a simpler, maybe less sinful time. Well, number one, there wasn't no time less sinful unless you're going to go back to the garden before the fall. But you know, there is no place and no time in the history of man that's better than where you are today, right here, right now. There's no time that's better than this dispensation, and there's no time that's better in it than today, You really want to live 100 years ago? You want to be toting water from a football field away in a bucket back to your house? Is that really, you think that'd be a better life for you? Two out of five babies die without us killing them. There's no time like the time that you and I live in today. So Paul says, remember how it used to be. Remember that you were Gentiles, you were separated from God. But Jesus Christ came and he revealed some truth to Paul about how that's not true for you anymore. But now, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. That's a Pauline revelation. You don't get that anywhere else. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 5. Paul writes, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. And in the Holy Ghost," you see what he calls it there? Our gospel. "And in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost." You know, they became followers of Paul. Of Paul and those that were with Paul. He says, you became followers of us. And consequently, you became followers of the Lord. And the example that he gives there is because they received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. So when you and I, we go through this life and we suffer afflictions, and we do it with joy, rejoicing and glorying in tribulation, you're following Paul when you do that. And if you haven't been able to bring yourself to a place where you can do that, work on that. Because that's a large part of following Paul. Following Paul isn't just going around showing everybody how much you know about right division. Paul had a hard life. But he rejoiced in it. He was able to glory. He says, I've learned. Whether I'm hungry or full, whether I abound or suffer need, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content, and even to rejoice. So that's how these guys became followers of Paul, by receiving the word, his word, in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord. So that's what we're looking for. You follow Paul, you let him be your example so that you can be an example to others. And you can't be an example to others if they don't know who you are. Be followers of Paul. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you that you've given us this great revelation. This revelation that you have ordained from before the foundation of the world, kept hid in yourself until it was time to reveal it. And you revealed it, Lord, to the Apostle Paul, the Apostle of the Gentiles. And now, the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles is Christ in us, the hope of glory. We who had no hope now have riches of glory. Christ now dwells in the Gentiles. Father, I pray that you would teach every one of us how to live that and how to teach that, how to communicate it, and how to be followers of Paul as you've commanded us to be. In the name of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, amen.